This is, of course, the theme song for The Brady Bunch, an American sitcom that aired between 1969 and 1974. And this is Stacey Julian with episode 33 of Exactly Enough Time. You might think from its title that this is a podcast about productivity. And while I do love to rock a day and get stuff done, Exactly Enough Time is much more about being present. It's about recognizing the time you have and making the most of it. It's about owning what you love. I love documenting family life and inviting more of whatever that is into your life. In this podcast, I tell stories, and I invite you to celebrate people, places, and things that make you and your life amazing. Hello, hello. How are you? I am doing great. One of the reasons is that today on the show, I have with me a special guest, Jess Forster, and we are going to talk about families and specifically resilience in families. But before we go there, you guys, the Brady Bunch. Can you even imagine a more resilient family? This blended TV family encountered more unexpected adventures and challenges and all kinds of craziness, and yet they managed to pull it together and resolve their issues every single time in 30 minutes. Amazing, right? I don't know about you, but in my corner of the world, in my family, things are not always quite that tidy. And so today we are going to talk about family resilience, and perhaps even more important, the opportunity that we have to document family resilience, not only to build more resilient families, but to write about that process, to define what success looks like, and to keep track of how we improve over time. Family resilience is something that my guest, Jess Forster, is very familiar with. By day, she is a medical social worker working with children and families diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And by night, when she is not hanging out with her own family, running, or drinking too much coffee, she is getting crafty. Trust me when I tell you, Jess is thoughtful, articulate, and very talented. I am going to let her introduce herself, except to tell you that she is soon launching a brand new online workshop at AllieEdwards.com called the Family Resilience Handbook. And because I am so excited about this topic, and when I got the email and read about it, I just reached out to Allie and Jess and I said, can we talk about this? Can I have Jess on the show? And can we dive into this topic and learn more about the vision and purpose and goals behind this project? And so here we go. Enough of me. Let's cut to my interview with Jess. Okay, so I have Jess Forster on the podcast with me today, on the line now officially. Hello, Jess.
Hey, Stacey.
Oh, see, she's actually there. It's so cool. So we were chatting just a bit before we started recording, and I was about to say three different things, and I'm like, no, I want to wait. I want to say that when we're recording. So one of the things I was going to say is that I remembered either listening to Jess on the Paper Clipping Roundtable, which was a podcast that Noelle and Izzy Hyman did for years, probably 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. So I Googled paper clipping round table, Jess Forster, and guess what came up?
Was it the episode that you and I were on together?
We were on the episode together. I was like, whoa, that's so cool. So maybe that's why I have this, you know, I have a very strong memory of listening to you. We were on the show together.
Yeah.
So I'm for sure going to put a link in the show notes to that episode.
Amazing.
I think that's fun.
It is fun. Anyway, that was a long time ago. I believe that was 2010.
That you're even better than me. So that, yeah. Anyway, so Jess, I kind of introduced you a little bit before, but why don't you just tell my listeners, you know, who you are. Tell them whatever you want to tell them.
Sure. So hi, everybody. My name's Jess Forster, and I am a scrapbooker and social worker. I live in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, with my husband, Aaron, our daughter, Rowan, and my son, Sam, as well as my mini golden doodle dog named Charlie, who you may or may not hear on this recording. He is currently sitting at my feet, and he's 11 years old, and he's pretty chilled out right now, but he may bark. So I apologize for that.
Barking loud.
By day, I am a medical social worker. So I work with children and families diagnosed with type 1 diabetes in a local area hospital just north of the city of Toronto. I've done that for the better part of a decade, for approximately 12 and a half years. So I do that by day, and by night I hang out with my peeps. And when my kids go to bed, because they are still quite young, I get some crafty time, and I'm a scrapbooker by night. So that hobby has evolved into a semi-professional endeavor for me. In 2014, I was on the Becky Higgins Project Life creative team. I fell in love with Pocket Pages, and for the last 3 years, I've been on the Allie Edwards creative team, and for the last 2 years, I've been on the Ellie Studio creative team. And if that isn't enough, I also travel with Scrapbooking Cards Today as part of their Crop and Create events, and I'm just gearing up for some of their fall events, which are happening in September and October. So I am a multifaceted person. Yeah, I'm busy.
You are. That is an impressive bio. This is so interesting, because the reason I'm having you on the show today, in my mind, and correct me if I'm wrong, is it's at the crossroads of these two things that you do so very well, the social work and storytelling or memory keeping, scrapbooking. And to tell everyone, I got an email from my friend Allie Edwards, who you're on her design team, you just said, but advertising a new class, and the class is called the Family Resilience Handbook. And I immediately clicked through. Just, I was like, that sounds so fascinating and interesting and something I would care a lot about. And then I realized it was being taught by you, Jess. I think it involves Allie and involves Kincaid, but it's your class.
It is. Well, thank you for all the kind words that you say. First, that it is so flattering to be on the podcast, and for you to compliment me. I am very humble, and thank you so much. I appreciate the kind words. But yeah, I've been lucky enough to have this opportunity from Allie to do an online class through her website, through the AE brand. And we're talking all about family resilience. This really comes, as you said, it marries together my professional life as a social worker, and being interested in how the families I see day in, day out, how they live and thrive in the face of the adversity of being diagnosed with type 1 and what that means for a family's life. And then it also obviously plays into just my home life and being interested in how I can cultivate resilience within our own family, and how that can apply to us as we grow and develop over the next few years.
I love it so much. It is a topic that I have been, over the course of about 4 or 5 years, it's a little bit of a buzzword right now, isn't it? Resilience and grit. But I have been studying it just for me personally, and because I love my family and wish that we, you know, will be resilient. But I've read a couple of books, and then there was a really kind of a landmark study, and I'm sure you're aware of it, and I've Googled it hopefully to say it correctly. But it was done at Emory, or out of Emory University, and it's been a while now. I think 2001 is when the study began, because I know that it was right before September 11th. Yes. And there's three doctors involved, and I have names highlighted. I just want to bring this up before we dive deep into your class, because it's been something that's really just been not just interesting, but it's almost become a passion of mine. So it was a Dr. Duke. I think it's a Dr. Fivish, if I'm saying it right. But they put together, and they were studying resilience in families, in children. And they had a scale. It's called the Do You Know Scale, DYK. They put together 20 questions. And I'm sure they did a number of other things. But as I understand it, and you can totally correct me and help me out here, Jess, but you know, when everything was said and done, they realized that this scale of 20 questions that measures how much a child knows essentially about their intergenerational family, right? How aware they are of things, that knowledge really predicted self-confidence, right? Just an ability to bounce back, you know, from difficulty. And then they were able to test it. It kind of at the tail end of this study, that's when, you know, the United States was attacked, part of 9/11. And then they pulled these kids back in and they said, okay, all of these children have experienced the same, right, national crisis sort of tragedy. And they realized that these children that scored well on this DYK scale were actually faring better through this experience. So I'm sure you've heard of that, but anyway, I'm trying to think of the guy's name now. No, where is his name, Stacey? Bruce Feiler.
Yes.
So yes. I quote Bruce Feiler. He wrote a book called The Stories That Bind Us, and he talks in one chapter about the study and about his own family. And this is the quote that is actually on my blog because I love it so much. So this is an introduction now to us talking about what you're doing and teaching, and I'm so excited about it. So here's the quote. It says, if you want a happier family, create, refine, and retell the story of your family's positive moments and your ability to bounce back from the difficult ones. That act alone may increase the odds that your family will thrive for many generations to come.
Oh my gosh. So I am just getting goosebumps from you reading that quote, because Bruce Feiler wrote a book in, I believe, 2012 or 2013 called The Secrets of Happy Families. And that was one of the books that has inspired this class. I've heard of the study out of the Do You Know Your Family History and Dr. Duke. I have heard about that. And I have read a number of social work books, specifically one from a Walsh, who is a social worker out of Chicago. But really the impetus or the start of my interest came from Bruce Feiler. So it is so amazing that you quote him, because I read a book in 2013 that really impacted how my husband and I sort of talked about how we wanted to raise our kids and what kind of family we wanted to be. And certainly there is an aspect of memory keeping, i.e. storytelling and passing stories down through the generation that I think that we can tap into to cultivate or create or allow us to thrive and transfer that knowledge. So I'm getting goosebumps.
Oh, that's so cool. That's awesome. I actually heard Bruce speak. He spoke at the Roots Tech, which is a family history conference every year in Salt Lake. So he talked the year after he wrote that book. So anyway, so see, that's so cool. We actually have come together almost for the same reason to talk about this idea of family resilience. So as I chat with you, I'm just going to follow. Let me see if I can pull up. Will you read? Do you have the description of the course that you're teaching in front of you?
So in this class, we're really diving deep into the stories of family resilience, and there are four lessons that we're going to talk about, and we're going to go through family history, personal motto, and really dive into what family resilience is and how we have overcome adversity in order to thrive. So it's not just about weathering the storm. It's learning about different values and structures within your family, interaction between family members, so that that we all come together and that there is a gain or a growth because of the challenges people have faced.
Right. So that is resilience, right? Is because we're all in the middle of this human experience, and it's I like to say it's 50-50, right? I mean, half the time it's gonna be okay, and you're gonna feel good, and there's joy, and there's happiness, and all of that stuff, and then half the time, honestly, it can really suck, and it's difficult. But and I think it also came out of this study where they talked about there's three different kinds of narratives that you can tell with your family. There's kind of the ascending narrative where you're like, oh, you know, we came here, you know, and to this country, and we had nothing, but our family worked really hard, and we opened your store, and your grandfather went to high school, and it just got better and better and better. And that's a great story. And the second one is kind of the opposite. It's the descending narrative where you're like, oh, we used to have it all and we've lost everything. And grandfather was, you know, got sick and died. You know, and we just sort of hang out in that negative space, right? And then, of course, there's the third story, which is exactly what you're referring to. And they call it the oscillating family narrative, which is, let me tell you what, we've had some ups and downs. You know, we've built a family business, you know, yada, yada, yada. And then we lost it. And your uncle was in, you know, prison. And, you know, just like if there's the good and the bad, but we have hung together as a family. And that's always been the thread, right? That's always been the most important thing. And that's exactly what, you know, anyway, what you said. So I just love that what you're teaching, and I'm so excited to learn about the community that you're developing inside this classroom. But it's based on science. It's not just, oh, here's, and I love scrapbooking, but this is not just, hey, let's get together and document this holiday, or let's document, you know, your vacation, and that's all good and fine. But this to me is really, truly the meat. You know what I mean? This is good stuff, and we all want this for our families. So you've kind of defined family resilience. I think the first part of your class is just defining family. Yeah. So what does that look like for each person, and how are you teaching
that?
Yeah.
So I think the short answer is, before you can learn to run, you have to learn to walk. And before you can learn to walk, you have to learn to crawl. And so before we can actually delve into the topic of family resilience, we really have to find who is in your family. Does that include immediate family? Does it include extended family? Does it include parents, partners, spouses, fur babies, children, adult children of, you know, adults? Is it a kinship? Is it people that are, that you would consider that are bound together, that are not related by blood? And so my hope for this class is that it is inclusive. I certainly don't have any authority to say what is right or what is wrong. That's not the kind of class that we're looking at, but we really do want to encourage families of all shapes and sizes to come and tell their stories. And primarily, this is marketed to obviously scrapbookers. And as I write the lessons and as we create the album, there will be writing prompts to include people that you define within your family. So one of the activities is creating a layout of all the people that you would consider. So if it's your immediate family, yeah, it might just be some, you know, four members, five members, whoever it is. And certainly fur babies or people without children, or, you know, it's inclusive of all different types of families.
All different types of families. I love it. Okay. So, and then the next section of your class, or the next step or lesson, this is now where you, once you've got that idea of family defined for you, you're going to help them build, I understand, a resilience timeline. So talk to me about that.
So it's essentially, we are doing a timeline activity, where we look at, various events or situations within the family. So, you know, this is something that you might want to talk to the people that you consider as part of your family. But what we're going to do is we're going to, you know, consider dates of when you would think your family was established. And we're going to aim to have a certain number of events depending on how long your family has been established. And we're going to essentially write down life situations or themes that have come out of your family experience. And basically rate them either positive, negative, or question mark. So question mark means that it's a little bit nuanced, right? It goes to that point that some things aren't always positive and some things aren't always negative. And I think that when we tell stories, the more complex ones happen when it isn't so clearly defined. You know, we want to talk about the challenges because I think that's where the opportunity for real growth and knowledge can come from.
Absolutely. And yeah, and developing the ability to, sometimes those things are difficult to talk about when you're in the middle of it. So recognizing, right, that they're, and being able to express that, and especially to young children, I think that their world can feel very, you know, not,
it's very close, or it's very, it's very, not minimal, but, it can be very sheltered when you're a child. And when you, when you have a whole, history or narrative around what things are, like in our family, we do this because of this reason, or in our family, we use kind words, in our family, we always sit at the dinner table, whatever it is, because the dinner table, you know, I'm actually sitting at our dinner table that belonged to my grandmother, you know, that is from 1942. Yes. And I'm sure there's lots of stories that can be told, or have that this table has actually witnessed. And so the piece itself represents a stake in our family history, but can also serve as a way to transmit stories as well.
Right. Like, this is where we come at the end of the day. And this is where we talk about the highs and the lows, and we just, and we do it together because that's who we are. Yes. So they're going to create a timeline and kind of look at beginning events and then just those events that have challenged them and things that they've celebrated together.
Absolutely. And I think one thing to point out is that we, you know, I am in no way an expert on resilience. I've certainly faced adversity in my lifetime, and there's no requirement for people to be experts in overcoming adversity. What we're looking at is, you know, reflecting on experiences that have passed, had an opportunity where you could be resilient. So it's looking at ways that you were, or you could have been, because we all have the potential to be resilient. We all, regardless of our family structure, regardless of the roles, regardless of our values, families come in all different shapes and sizes, but we all have the potential to learn, even if we have different strengths or different resources. And so, you know, it's learning to do that and seeing it from a different perspective. And I think becoming, in order to become resilient, you have to practice resiliency. It's sort of like you got to walk the walk before you can talk the talk. And so we are not, there are going to be various writing prompts, in the resiliency lessons. We're going to start off with, a small, situation that wasn't too difficult to handle, and then we're going to tackle bigger stuff. Graduate from there. So it's not, you know, there's no expectation that people need to have a PhD or that they have to be a social worker. Right. You know, it's just what's required is to have, you know, this growth mindset or this opportunity or this willingness to talk about some of the adversities that you and your family have faced and how you have grown from them. And certainly we will dive deeper into the topic of resilience and sort of the processes that people can engage in to become resilient. And we'll have more of a technical or conceptual conversation about that. But through writing and through these creative prompts, we are going to be practicing learning how we can be resilient.
Well, and resilience builds resilience. I mean, you know, if I look back on my life, you know, I never feel super resilient in the midst of something. But then when I look back, I go, you know what? Dude, I did that. That was hard. And I made it through, you know, even just simple, like just my daughter, Addie, had a kind of a traumatic experience with a bicycle many years ago at the age in which most children begin riding a bicycle. And so we walked away from bicycle for about 5 years. And just just this summer, you know, she was ready and I was ready and she learned really fast and we got her on a bike and it's been like 2 weeks. And so there's this big trail. it's actually on the state, on the line between Montana and Idaho, and it's called the Hiawatha Trail. And it's, you know, an old railroad trail, but it goes through dark tunnels. The first tunnel you go through is 2 miles long and it's cold and it's dark. And anyway, so she rode this, I don't know what kind of mom I am that signs up her 2 week bike riding daughter to ride this crazy long trail that, you know, traverses all kinds of, anyway, I'm telling you this whole story because then yesterday I took her out again and we were riding on a trail that's very smooth. But she was just riding along and she said to me, "Mom, I could probably ride on this trail for a very long time." And I said, "Why, Addie?" And she goes, "Because I've done the Hiawatha." You know what I mean? And I just realized, I'm like, that's the beginning of resilience, right? Like, looking back already to, you know, that was on Labor Day, but she already recognizes that she did something hard and she was successful at it. And so now doing the same thing that a week ago would have felt difficult doesn't feel
difficult. Congratulations to Addie. That is such a wonderful story and a great example of resilience. And
it doesn't have to be this really crazy difficult, you know, there's just opportunities for resilience in everyday life.
Yeah. Froma Walsh, one of the lead researchers in family resilience, talks about the magic of everyday things and also the mastering the art of possibility. And so, you know, you ask yourself, what kind of mom, you know, takes her child who doesn't like to ride a bike on this like super hard trail? It's the mom who sees the possibility of mastering something that was difficult, and you have to be open and flexible to be able to do that.
Oh, well, I'm totally taking that from my friend, the social worker. Thank you. Okay. So then the next section of your class, you kind of move from defining your family to establishing a resilience timeline. And then the next is all about creating or recognizing a family motto.
So defining a family motto, and Bruce Feiler talks about this in his The Secrets of Happy Families. It's the idea of what is your family mission statement? Like if you had to summarize what your values are as a family, what would they be? And since 2013, my husband and I have had this saying, and it's on my wall and why I can't read it, but it essentially is, together we have adventures big and small. And this is something that we came up with when our daughter was 2 years old after I read this book. And it was something that we talked about. What did we want to have for our family? What was the mission statement? You know, it recognizes that there are going to be big challenges and small challenges. And you talked about, you know, having gone through something and then coming out the other side and then learning about the resilience. And at the time, we didn't really realize that this statement was going to be so impactful, that we were going to have many adventures. Mm-hmm. But in 2015, my daughter was diagnosed with autism, with mild autism. And I was 8 weeks pregnant with my second child. And
wow.
You know, I feel like we are now coming out of this crazy time where, you know, I was pregnant and, you know, quite pregnant, running my daughter to various therapy appointments. Even when her brother was born, he was in the ICU for a couple of days. And then, you know, we're just coming out of the crazy time. And this class and this album, which I think is going to be a livable album where we continue to add, updated family statements or family mottos or manifestos or resilient, adding to our resiliency timeline. This is really a livable document where we can sort of reflect and where the kids can actually, you know, take the album off the shelf and start to read. My daughter can now read and, you know, instead of me telling her verbally how she is resilient or how we are resilient as a family, I really want to have this holder of these stories so that she can go and learn how, you know, mistakes are where the learning happens. That's another sort of quote that we say in our family, which we've sort of adapted, right? So the mission statement, you know, that is a very, very long way to say what the mission statement is. But we will be talking, really honing in what you want your family life to be like. And it's like a mission statement, but it's also a vision statement, if that makes sense. There's a difference between how your family is acting now, but also we're going to be doing an activity of how you want your family to be. And I think there's opportunity for input. So not only just the person who takes the class, but also an opportunity for you to engage your family members.
I love it so much. I just think there is so much power in that. I've often been curious about all of the work and writing and study that's gone into successful companies and how important it is to have a mission statement and a vision statement for your company. And then I think, well, a family, that's the most important thing you can build, you know what I mean, create and grow and develop. And why wouldn't a family benefit from having those same things, you know? And I've always considered myself the CMO, which is the chief memory officer of my family, you know? I'm just so excited to recommend this class to my listeners, because again, to me, and I am a scrapbooker and I love making pages. I still do it. I still love it. The older I get, this is what I want people to do, is really hone in on these kinds of stories. And I just, for some reason, I think, you know, there's people listening going, oh, okay, well, I don't have a family motto. I don't have a mission statement. I don't know what the, you know, I'm just trying to get the laundry done and get the kids to all their different lessons and, you know, activities. And I think sometimes we just don't see, you know what I mean, what's happening when we're in the midst of it. But you do. There are things, like you said, there are things that you say to each other, and there are values that you share. So this class, in my mind, is an opportunity to just pause and recognize what's happening, because it's happening right now. You know what I mean? And recognize what's happening really well. And then almost to write it down and solidify it. And I love, you know, You probably have days where you want to retract the big and little adventures of all kinds, because you're like, no, never mind. Maybe I want to change that statement. But I just think that there's so much power in just capturing it, right? And recognizing it and making it permanent. It can make a big difference in the daily.
And I think you do point out that it's so easy to get caught up in laundry or dishes or homework. And sometimes, you know, I'm a big picture person in terms of like seeing things from a different stance. And I think it's important to have time to reflect on the type of family life that you want to live every day. And of course, you might not be feeling like you're super resilient when the kids are screaming, or, you know, you've dropped something down the stairs and dinner is ruined or whatever it is. But I think that we all have the opportunity to hit that, to hit the pause button and reflect. I think that there is value in that. And obviously I wouldn't have created a class if I didn't think that there was value in that.
So just again, if you're listening and you either haven't scrapbooked maybe in a while, or you haven't ever, you know, even really done this, this is the perfect, in my mind, perfect place to start. So I just, I want to say that. So okay, so the fourth lesson or sort of phase in this experience, this community that you're building around this project, is about family interviews.
Well, it comes from the idea that my parents are aging. You know, they are now in their 70s, and my kids are growing up, and I really want to have this opportunity for my kids to speak to their grandparents and to learn some of the stories. I'm sure there are stories that I don't even know, which I am curious to have the answers of. And it goes back to the study that you mentioned, the Emory study from 2001, and learning your family history, because I think that there is an opportunity for great knowledge transfer there. And the challenge is, I think it just makes you a better person when you take when you look at another person's life from their perspective. And I think that there is an opportunity to learn so much from somebody else's lived experiences.
My parents, I'm guessing I'm probably 10, 12 years older than you, as my parents are entering their 80s. And it's becoming more and more important for me not only to have those stories shared, but to have them recorded. And I've talked about this before, is using that smartphone and recording the voices, right? You know, the texture of someone speaking and the way they speak and the way they tell a story. I think that's as important as actually having the story. But exactly this family interview thing, this is what builds that intergenerational self that they refer to, you know, in this study. And it's just this idea, maybe I'm in middle school, I'm a kid and I'm just like, man, life sucks. You know what I mean? And school is hard and this whole, you know, they're carrying around these screens and just all of the pressures that they feel and the anxiety and all of that we hear about, having kind of that overarching sense of, I belong to something bigger than all of this. On this particular day is bigger than what I belong to. And I think there's nothing more important that you can focus on or stress
on. It's interesting because I think I was a memory keeper from a very young age. And I remember hearing conversations about my mom going to school and just the difference between the type of school that I went to and the type of school that my mom went to. Like, she grew up in the country in the 50s and 60s. Right. And at that time, she went to a one-room schoolhouse where when it snowed, they had to walk a mile and there were banks as tall as the phone towers. And I find that just so fascinating. And, you know, what would that be like where they, you know, where you knew everybody in your class and you went from kindergarten or I guess grade one at the time until grade eight? What would that have been like? And sitting in, you know, rows. Yeah, it's just fascinating. And again, to your point, just being able to capture those conversations or capture that life experience, I think is so important. Knowing that time, that life is fragile, and that we are not guaranteed a certain amount of time on this earth, and nothing is guaranteed. Life is ever changing, and that also informs the perspective of this class, knowing that we evolve and people do pass on, which is not supposed to be morbid, but just as a wake-up call of like, okay, I have to be grateful, or I want to be grateful, and I want to enjoy the time that I have with my people.
Okay. Well, I just think the whole thing is fabulous. I appreciate so much what you're doing. Tell us a little bit more. What is it that they're actually building? What does it look like? And what if someone wants to sign up, not only how can they sign up, but you know, do they need to have supplies or do they purchase something? So talk to me more now about the actual physical.
Yeah. So we are building a 6x8 album. There is a digital kit, which I designed. I'm pretty excited that I was able to do that with the help of Allie. There are printables that you can print as a result. We are also using the family story kit, which is for this month, I believe they are, Allie and her team are opening up the ability to purchase the story kit. Everything within the resilience digital kit and the physical kit can works together in terms of the color schemes. And so we are creating an album that has like a title page, an intention page. Within the album, there are four sections to go along with the four lessons. And the idea is that I am giving you a base, a handbook of like how family resilience happens within your family. So with the different writing prompts, we're going to be creating a few different layouts for each of the lessons. You can choose whatever album that you want to have, whether it's 9x12, 12x12, traveler's notebooks. You can really do this in a way that makes sense for you. We are just happening to do it in a 6x8. So there's divided tabs that you can organize your album. And the idea is that this is really a livable album that could hopefully sit on your shelf, that you can add stories of resilience. And the classroom is going to remain open. Class starts September 16th. But it will remain open, as far as I know, indefinitely. So you can join us at any time. If this is not the right time, I believe that the class will be available in the months to come. So
I love that. Well, and I'm sure that there's great benefit. Let's say you don't have budget right now to purchase it. The class itself,
$30.
I believe, is
$30.
Yeah, that's right. Is that right? But I think the benefits of just being in the classroom and seeing what other people, mm-hmm. I'm assuming, are posting or, you know, or interacting and being a part of that is value in and of itself enough. I mean, motivation enough to sign up early, whether you get going on the actual project. But again, you're starting something that you aren't going to, you're going to plan not to finish. And I love how you keep referring to it as a livable project. That's just awesome. So, okay. So we're kind of at the end of this topic that I wanted to discuss with you, but I asked Allie if she would record just some of her thoughts and, you know, and an invitation to listeners to also come and learn more and participate in this class. So before we go to the actual wrap up, I want you to hear from Allie.
Hey, this is Allie Edwards, and I just wanted to chime in with just a little note and message about how excited I personally am for this workshop. As I've been reading over the content that Jess has put together, and even the first exercise, I'm looking at it right now in the first writing prompt, I feel like it's going to be really meaningful and valuable to me as a person, and to actually take the time to identify and write down, because I highly, highly, highly believe in the power of writing things down, just to identify, you know, who are these people in our family and what are their responsibilities and what are their strengths and those kinds of things. And that's just in the first lesson. And it's something that I've never done. And I do a lot of writing about my family and a lot of writing about making it through things and who we all are. I think for me, it's really exciting to have somebody else leading as well and have somebody else coming up with a concept for the workshop so that I can participate, I can contribute, and I can learn as I go along too, because lifelong learning is a really important value for me, and I'll probably be talking about that at some point in the process of this class as well. One of the things that I'm super excited about is kind of diving into the stories that we tell ourselves about the people in our family. I have a memory of growing up and having cousins who, for some reason or another, we had conversations in my house about how some of my cousins were labeled by their parents. And that's something that stuck with me throughout, you know, having my own kids and trying not to label them as this is the one that does this and this is the one that does that. And now with a blended family and the content for this workshop, some of those topics are coming up for me again, and it's making me take a closer look at some of the stories that I've been telling myself about our blended family and about the different people that make up our new family. So I'm super excited to dive into this content. I'm really, really happy to have Jess on board. She is a valuable contributor to our community, and she has knowledge that goes beyond what I have. So I'm super excited. I hope that you guys check out the workshop, and I would love to see you in the classroom.
Thanks to Allie. And now back to my interview wrap up with Jess. For guests on my podcast, I love to have them now kind of switch gears a little bit. And I want you to tell us just about you and your life right now, maybe a person or a place or a thing that just really has your focus that you are,
So I love, first of all, I love the questions, and it really made me reflect, which as people may have gathered from the podcast, I like to think about things. I like to think about big concepts. So this was just a joy to think about. But right now I'm really thinking about fall in Toronto. We are experiencing a shift in the weather. It's going from really, really hot to having that cool, crisp air in the breeze. My kids have gone back to school, including my little one, Sam, who is now 4. He just started JK on Tuesday. And so what I'm really, really enjoying is this time of transition and how we're sliding into just a different season, literally and figuratively, a different season of life as my kids grow up, become a little bit more independent, how we have one drop off and pick up from school, and just how that relates to the weather.
That's so interesting because I am actually doing a transition as well. My youngest is Addie, and I'm homeschooling for the first time in my life, which is something I never, just underline the word never, imagined for myself. And today we started the science unit on meteorology. Actually, it was lesson number 2, it was on seasons. And she had to color a tree in every season. But that's so funny because you're sitting here saying this and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, we just had this lesson and talked about how beautiful the world is as it moves through the different seasons and then comparing that to seasons in our life. So that's so interesting, another little moment of synchronicity with you today. So, and then my next question, and I love asking this question so much, but I want you to fill in the blank. I have exactly enough time for
walks to the playground with my kids.
That's really cool. I want to know more. Why? What's
so
motivating?
There's my father-in-law in the summer experienced a heart attack, and so the issue of health has really sort of come to the forefront within our family life, and you know what it means to be healthy and getting our steps in, and you know thinking about family resilience and all this time together. You know, being active and moving my body. And being active with our kids has been such an important thing just in light of everything that has happened this summer and me writing this course. And so steps to the playground really means, carving out a time, after dinner where, you know, usually on nights when we're not going 50 different directions, but just making enough time, even if it's 15 minutes or 20 minutes, like we did last night, and going to the schoolyard, which is very close to our house, playing silly games of hide and seek. Or last night I put my running shoes on and my little guy is learning how to ride his bike with training wheels. So I ran and he rode beside me. My daughter, meets with her friends and we also play. Anyways, it's this fun activity that we do together. And I always think, oh man, like I should be doing this. I should be doing that. But no. When you stop and refocus, it's, even if it's 20 minutes, it's just such a fun time to have together.
And that's the perfect answer. Honestly, I don't know if you thought about that, but that's a perfect answer for, health resilience and family resilience. A walk together pretty much covers it. So, well, I just am so grateful for your time and your expertise and for everything that you've contributed to our industry over time and that you're continuing to, because I know it's a sacrifice to step away from family and work, right? And contribute to other people's lives. So it's very generous of you what you're doing. And I am just, again, recommending this class and this experience. This is exactly the kind of storytelling that I think has a great, it just can change who you are and help you recognize right who you are and what you want for your family. And there's nothing more important to focus on.
Stacey, I am incredibly flattered and you've made my heart very, very happy today. So thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks again for being on the show. Wow, such good information. Lots to think about and ponder on and to be intentional about as we consider how we can build more resilience with our family members in our families. I will be putting as much information as I can into the show notes at stacyjulian.com. The books and the quotes and the studies, all of it, especially a link to the Family Resilience Handbook, which is the workshop that Jess will be teaching with Allie starting this Monday, September 16th. So be sure to check that out. And then be sure to come back next week for another episode of Exactly Enough Time.